Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
On the pallet shelters, making some progress there. The Homeless Reduction Task Force met last week, and they unanimously approved two applications through our process. One is for REAP, Reentry Alliance Pensacola, placing at least 14 units on West Blount Street, and then Offensive Corporation, has asked for 13 units on their site at North Palafox. Both of them have done a great job. They've spoken to the neighbors. They've done all of that due diligence that we expect, and I appreciate the task force digging in certainly deeper than my expertise to make sure that all of those things make sense.
Yeah, this is good news, sort of finally getting some of these pallet homes that are basically a very, very small home at a relatively inexpensive price, but that is still safe from the elements, air conditioned, or at least, climate controlled, and something that you can use where you don't have to have them in a dorm type setting with other people. So if they don't maybe play the best with other people, this is an alternative to the low barrier shelter, basically. And it's nice to see a couple of different organizations, Offensive and also REAP, being able to put this into place.
This was the purpose of going this direction with pallet shelters, knowing that a low barrier shelter was going to be quite a heavy recurring lift. And that's a conversation we still need to have as a community. But the goal with the pallets was to let's get housing yesterday, let's get it today, and so we're excited to have those move forward.
Yeah, and the question has been raised, are they up to code? What kind of standards are they? I mean, if they're on pallets, well, the being on pallets, tends to make you think, well, they're pretty low quality. No, being on pallets just means they're mobile. That means that you can move them around as need be. They're very easy to transport. They're actually built to be portable, but they're still, compared to, say, a tent by a fence under a tree in a woods, really, really nice compared to that.
Oh, good question. I'm glad you asked that, because the other lingering comments out there is, well, why are they so expensive? Well, you can't have it both. Do you want them to be up to code, or do you want them to be inexpensive,
Well, we want it to be free and cheap and, great and soon, right? Well, pick a couple of your parameters. You can't necessarily have them all. Yeah, he's right. If you want high quality, you may have to actually pay for it. And so they are being paid for. And also, they're pretty good quality. So good.
And the reason they're $15,000, $17,000, $18,000, and they say, well, it's only 70 square feet. Why is it this price? Well, because at 120 degree ambient temperature outside, they stay 75 degrees, the humane way that you would want someone to be able to live in this climate. That's not easy to do, and make it as flexible as being able to build them, take them up and down and move them around. And yes, they're absolutely up to wind code.
And kind of the idea again is that you'd have these organizations that are already doing work in this space, and then they would have, 10 or 15 of them attached to maybe a shelter or outside, in a parking lot or in a field or something like that. So this is actually really, really good news to be deploying 27 of these. You also had a very interesting question for the mayor about Visit Pensacola. If you may not be aware, there's currently a bit of a conflict between the clerk of the court and Visit over some funding. I'm not going to go into all the details there, but it's another one of these. Well, is it allowed? Is that a legal use of TDT funds and so forth? But I thought the mayor, there was a very interesting perspective that came up, because he used to be, chairman of the board of Visit, and just talking about tourism. And I thought it was an interesting moment for the mayor to talk about how he thinks we ought to think about tourism, because a lot of times people think about tourism as an annoyance, right? These people who, use our lanes and cause our traffic and clog up our beaches and, leave more than footprints and all the things, right? That, take our reservations at our restaurants and all this kind of stuff. Well, okay. So anyway, talking about Visit Pensacola, this is comment one.
I think the efforts that we have at Visit are vital to us. And 85% of our tourism comes here, whether in the city of Pensacola or our region, to come to the beach. And you know, we went as far when I was there as scientifically researching why people pick Pensacola over Gulf Shores or the same color sand and the same proximity. Why do people come here more than they come there? That's the type of, this is not just running a commercial during a SEC football game. This is, there's lots of science that goes into how we talk to people, how we track people. There's a lot of expertise that goes into that. And you might just see a commercial, but there's lots going on in the background that's vital to our success.
And also, again, that perspective of, well, what about the traffic problems and what about the other challenges that are caused for us by visitors?
Every opportunity I get, one of my pet peeves is when I hear locals complain about traffic because of visitors. And when you think about how many people have jobs in this town and how many jobs we've created, I will sit at another light for another 30 seconds to have the economic impact for creating jobs, creating wealth, putting food on the table for people here. And so I'm very appreciative that we have visitors here, very appreciative. And I don't think our community fully understands the immense impact. And
there's definitely that tone, a lot of or just overt words, where people are angry because they can't get to their beach as easily as they'd like to, or there are too many people on their beach. As well, okay, I understand, but at the same time, how do you think we pay the bills? You know, we all know that the two beaches, you know, or like, well, three beaches, if I'm thinking of Escambia County for now, but if you're including, you know, Santa Rosa County, that the beaches pay the bills, right? The beaches pay a massive amount of taxes, and the beaches create an awful lot of jobs and opportunity. And we know that. Everybody knows that. And then we turn around and we're like, oh, well, I got to wait in traffic. Well, okay. I mean, there's, you know, trade-offs, right? But he's saying, look, if we didn't have the traffic, that means we don't have the people. Remember, I was not here, but do you remember the oil spill? Is that the preference? Well, no. I mean, can't be that that's the preference, right? But why do we have that perspective a lot of times? Well, because, look, we're all basically irrational. We want all the goodies and none of the problems. Everybody does, right? Everybody wants all the goodies, none of the problems. We don't. We're all kind of children inside. We complain about the things we don't like, and then we don't think too much about the things that we take for granted that we do love. But, you know, thinking about all of that, I actually thought it was a very interesting set of comments that he made.
Matter of fact, one thing I think we as a community could do a better job of advertising to ourselves. And I know that that could be controversial and say, well, why are you running commercials in Pensacola? Because I think we don't even have a full understanding as a community how valuable the efforts that Visit Pensacola has and what it means to have tourism here.
Now, the jaded or cynical view of that would be like, are you telling me that we're going to fund propaganda to our own people to teach us how we should enjoy the problems that come with tourism? Well, yeah. I mean, that's that, you know, just like, you know, the sheriff tells you to lock your doors and keep it yours. And, you know, there's all kinds of public service messages and too much negativity towards tourists. And, you know, be careful, you might get what you're hoping for, right?
You know, what do they say? That the biggest enemy of progress is nostalgia. And with nostalgia, we used to remember when you could find a parking spot downtown. Yeah, no one was down here. Yeah, we had one restaurant downtown, you know, 15 years ago. So things change. And I think what happens is, I guess to answer your question, is as things progress and change and more jobs are created in tourism and more positive impacts are happening in the community, sometimes we as community members forget, thanks to nostalgia, we forget that there's also good things happening when you might see a little more traffic on the road, or you might wait a little bit longer at a light.
Or even a lot longer. I mean, I've only lived here 11 years, but, you know, so my level of nostalgia for when Palafox was like one restaurant and you could easily park downtown, or you could always find a parking spot 3 minutes away from the terminal. Well, yeah. And what was it like back then? And what kind of opportunities did you have? And, you know, what did your children stay here after they grew up, or did they have to go somewhere else to find a life, right? I mean, he's not wrong that we tend to, you know, have nostalgia for the things the way they used to be that we like, and then we take for granted all of the good things about what we have. We kind of want to mix them both together, right? We want the great stuff we've got that we take for granted, and then we want to get rid of the traffic or the parking or, you know, whatever slice of this challenge that we don't like. So I thought it was an interesting set of comments. You know, I was curious to see how people would react to those comments. So if you have a reaction, 437-1620, feel free to let me know. I'm here. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
You're great at protecting your personal information. You might even use things like two-factor authentication and strong passwords. But as much as you try to control how your info is protected, there are other places that also have it, and they may not be as careful. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed or your money back. Save 40% your first year with my name, Clay, as the promo code at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Why'd I go to the doctor? One day at the firehouse, I was so lightheaded I could barely stand. Even my crew noticed. Getting checked out was the right call. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Costa del Ex, Lutherville, Marina del Ex, Otisburg. Otisburg?
Who's Tess Marshall? She's got her own place, man.
Otisburg?
It's a little bitty place.
Otisburg?
Don't be afraid of your freedom!
Good morning, 522 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Elon Musk slamming President Trump's new spending bill. He called it a disgusting abomination. In a post on X, Musk said that he just can't stand it anymore, and he was shaming lawmakers that voted for it. Some Republicans, like Senators Rand Paul and Mike Lee, backed Musk. House Speaker Mike Johnson, though, called those comments very disappointing and terribly wrong.
Yeah, I mean, just like big picture view. On the one hand, we spent the last 4 months yelling and screaming about all these cuts, many of which were not really implemented the way they were supposed to, or many of which had to be backfilled with paying people extra to work overtime to cover the lapses, like, you know, really dumb cuts, okay? But we're supposed to be cutting. And then we're passing a bill that is going to be growing the federal deficit.
Right.
For example, by picking out a particular slice of revenue, the tax on tipped wages, that, you know, we're just going to eliminate that, which I'm like, I still don't understand this proposal. Why are those wages any different from commissions or anything else? So, yeah, and we're going to grow the debt ceiling because we have to grow it by $3 or $4 trillion in order to, I mean, it's just, I kind of agree with him. It's a crazy proposal. It doesn't really solve any of the things that we're trying to solve. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Well, fighting in Gaza has now forced aid centers to shut down. The Israeli military says roads near those sites have turned into combat zones, so they will not be allowing anyone in or out today. Hamas says about 24 Palestinians were killed near one of those centers yesterday. A U.S.-backed aid group is hoping to be able to resume their deliveries tomorrow. And Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry urging the remaining fugitives from last month's Orleans Parish jail breakout to stop playing hide-and-seek and turn themselves in. Antoine Massey and Derek Groves apparently are the last of those escapees. Massey posted videos on Instagram claiming to be innocent and asking rapper Lil Wayne and President Trump for help. And where was I here? Police raided the house where the videos were made, but apparently Massey had already fled by that point.
Yeah. Please come back to jail. That's the law enforcement technique we're using now.
That's the best one, isn't it?
Sure about that as a follow-up.
See, he didn't say the magic word.
It's not a terrible idea to hope the president might take an interest in, you know, pardoning you as a guilty person. He seems to be doing that a lot. So just, you know, okay. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. 525 on News Radio 92.3. You heard it in the top of the hour news, but the Army has hit its annual recruiting goal. First time it's done that so early since 2014. Months ahead of schedule. August is the end of the fiscal year. So they're at 61,000 this year. Now, this is a good news story, okay? It may not be quite as good news as it seems. Apparently, and I do not pretend to fully understand this, but apparently there's sort of an accounting issue of what year you count the recruits in, because there's like 11,000 of them or so who had to defer their actual enlistment because of a training pipeline incapacity. Like, we didn't have enough opportunity to train them, so we had to defer when they would actually enter the service. So they got counted in this year rather than in last year. It's kind of how I understand it. But it's still good. It's still good news. Okay? Definitely a big positive story for something that has for several years not always been a good thing, so we'll take that. 437-1620, let's say about 25% attrition rate, by the way, is good compared, or sorry, one of the reasons that this is working, one of the reasons we're getting more people in is because they're going out of their way to get people who previously would have been marginal or disqualified and to kind of better prepare them if they fail out, so to speak, in the beginning, like they get disqualified. They have these kind of prep courses to get the potential recruits in shape, both intellectually and physically. And the attrition rate of the troops that we help, you know, that we kind of get in by the GED door, if you want to think about it that way. It's not quite the same, but you get what I'm saying. Their attrition rate is a little bit higher, but still, that's another way of getting, you know, more people into the system. What else do we have? Oh, this might be one of, I don't know, there's a couple of really good stories or interesting stories to talk about, and we'll get to them today, but this one caught my attention. Now, John, you have dated a lot more recently than I have.
Correct.
Did you use the apps?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I thought Tinder was basically for having sex with people. Is that wrong? Am I wrong? I don't understand.
Can you call me in?
Oh, hey, Candy. speaking of Candy.
Right.
is that basically, is it mostly Tinder is when you want to have sex with people, right? It's not for real dating.
Yeah, hook up.
Okay, all right. So maybe the change here is not that big of a deal, but Tinder is going to, if you pay enough, okay, if you pay for one of the, not for the date, but if you pay for the better
premium
service, Tinder Gold and Tinder Premium, they will let you add a new filter to your search parameters.
Whoa.
Height. See the look of total despair on your face, John.
I thought it was going to be a better filter, but yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I would like a guy who is at least 5'8". I'm out. You know, I mean, I'm out because I'm married 27 years too, but I'm out, you know, right? So so all of the short men in the world are freaking out because they feel like women are going to select against them. And, I mean, they probably will, right? Of course, I guess Hinge is another one. I've heard these names, but I don't know them. Hinge is a site that's also owned by a Match Group, which owns Tinder. They already have a height filter on it, which, I mean, don't you want to know ahead of time if she doesn't want a short guy?
Well, then,
I mean, if she, like, I'm a relatively short guy. I'm 5'7", 5'6", depending on when day you measure. you know,
5'6", the math.
So, if a woman is really eager to find a guy who's, you know, 5'10 or taller, I mean, she's not going to be happy with me.
Well, you never know.
No, she's not going to be happy with me.
You never know.
In her core, she's always going to be thinking, well, maybe I could have found a taller guy.
Could have. Put heels on.
So why would I want to be surprised to a woman who only wants to date a guy who's 5'10 or above? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not that tall, but if I had to go back into the dating world, I would prefer to know that all the women who said swipe right, is that the good one? Okay.
Yeah.
Swipe right on me, knew they were getting a guy my height and didn't show up to the restaurant and be like, yeah, he was fine when he was sitting, but not when he was standing. Like, you know, just like...
We'll give you a box.
They want
on.
Somebody who's, you know, if they want somebody who's really sweet all the time and nice and never sarcastic, I don't want them to, you know, swipe right on me because they're going to be disappointed. Because, you know, I'm mean and funny. So, I don't know. This doesn't bother me. I do wonder if you're going to have, you know, like... measurements on the other side of the equation.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The manhunt underway this morning in Central Washington State for Travis Decker in connection to the murders of his three daughters, ages 9, 8, and 5, according to police. They say he did not return them after a planned visitation.
I want to pay respects to Peyton, Evelyn, Olivia. Your memory will never be forgotten, and we will not stop pursuing justice for you until those that were accountable for this are found.
Chelan County Sheriff Mike Morrison, the accused Colorado terrorist Mohammed Soleiman, in custody, and his wife and five children wake up this morning in ICE custody as well. White House posting on Tuesday on X, the relatives could be deported as early as tonight. Officials haven't clarified their immigration status, and tariffs on most steel and aluminum imports doubling today to 50%, but the UK remains at 25% since they have a framework for a trade deal. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. We've got partly cloudy skies. It's 73 degrees right now. Well, yesterday we learned that the Maxwell Respite Center is closing at the end of the month. Now it looks like some of the 80-plus residents that will find themselves homeless again may have somewhere to go. Pensacola's Waterfront Rescue Mission has said they'll do what they can to take in those who are being displaced. Maxwell Respite Center's residents include women, children, families. Waterfront says they will help families that ask, but they do primarily focus on single individuals or women with children. Waterfront currently averages around 150 people at their facilities each night. They say there's been a 50% increase in that number in just the last 3 years. City officials say it's time to resume talks about low-barrier homeless shelters. They want to get the city, county, healthcare providers, and nonprofits all involved in that discussion. Florida lawmakers are back at work trying to hammer out a budget. This comes as a tentative agreement has been reached. House Speaker Daniel Perez wants the House to cut the budget more than the governor and the Senate do.
We have increased our budget more in this six-year span than any other six-year span in the history of the state of Florida. We are spending like drunken sailors. And at some point, you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, are we running the government efficiently?
Perez says more than $2 billion worth of tax cuts will be implemented in the new budget and also include spending cuts and a 2% raise for state workers. Police in Tennessee have identified a suspect in that hit-and-run crash that injured an Escambia County man who was celebrating his birthday in May. Nashville authorities now say they're looking for 32-year-old Tony Lopez Infante, an illegal immigrant with multiple warrants out. Lopez Infante allegedly crashed into Zachary Carriage on May 18th. He was out with his family in downtown Nashville. He did survive the crash, but was seriously injured. A GoFundMe has been set up for his recovery. Officials in Tennessee say they are offering a reward for information leading to Lopez Infante's arrest. The sole finalist to be the next president of the University of Florida system has been rejected by the state's Board of Governors. The board voted 10-6 against Dr. Santa Ono's confirmation yesterday, and this is after he was unanimously approved by the system's Board of Trustees last week. Ono faced criticism from conservatives, including Florida Senator Rick Scott, for his previous statements on diversity, equity, and inclusion, along with his handling of on-campus protests against the violence in Gaza as he served as the president of the University of Michigan. It's the first time the Florida Board of Governors has denied a university board's leadership selection. Well, there's a new Cars attraction headed to Disney World's Magic Kingdom. Piston Peak National Park is inspired by the Pixar franchise. It'll feature a visitor lodge, ranger headquarters, trails, and more. Attractions like the Rivers of America and Tom Sawyer Island will be closing starting on July 7th to make room for that new land. It's 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a chance of some afternoon showers and thunderstorms, 70% chance of that rain for today, high near 87 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. Keeping rain chances around on Thursday with a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 89. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 75. For Friday, 60% chance of rain with a high near 88. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
73 right now, your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Escambia County Emergency Management wants you to be 1 week ready. But what does that mean? It means that Escambia County residents should have 7 days worth of basic supplies, including bottled water, non-perishable food items, spare batteries, flashlights, a hand crank radio, and other essential items. The best time to build your supply kit is now. Learn more at myescambia.com/be ready.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Prosecco Week, Father's Day, Craft Beer Festival, Juneteenth, Toast of the Coast, High on the Hog, Dinner with Strings, and the 4th of July. Today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 740 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us on this Tuesday morning. Joining us here in studio, we have Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to Pensacola Morning News, sir. Apparently, if you eat blueberries in the Walmart and you also have fentanyl in your person, this could go poorly for you if you don't pay for the blueberries.
Yeah, you got to think these things are connected, right? You know, you got to think that you may well be on something. To walk around Walmart and just, you know, pick in and eating the blueberries out of the package.
Sometimes you're hungry.
Meandering.
Yeah.
As
okay.
they say.
All right.
And then just throwing the, disregarding the package and trying to walk out without paying for what you've just eaten.
And if you nibble the blueberries and then pay for them, it's fine. But when you don't
I don't know if it's fine or not. I'm not sure what the rules are in Walmart. I would think that it's not a, buffet.
Well, it's sort of a risk, I suppose. But, you know, in this case, the astute employees were watching. And they stopped the person for shoplifting, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there. I mean, they are pretty good at picking out shoplifters, but I would imagine if you're walking through the aisles just eating blueberries, you would draw attention to yourself, both with the blueberries and the blue tongue and the lips and whether you had fingers you'd have. But then you decide to walk out. And like you just said, the bigger issue there is that you have a bunch of fentanyl on you. You have what, methamphetamine? You have all this crap on you, and you go to jail for it.
We're glad for dumb criminals.
We are very thankful. Yes.
So yeah. Okay. You also had another meth arrest dealing with a traffic stop. So which often happens. A Molino guy charged with meth after a traffic stop. Is that right?
Yeah, it was that simple. Our guys are out there stopping cars for violations. And in this particular case, it was a tag light violation. and they ended up stopping him, and probable cause led to them seizing a little bit of fentanyl and some other drugs and arrested him for it as well.
And it seems like a weird thing because you have these traffic stops that lead to other things, but it happens all the time. And, you know, I got to imagine that part of the policing strategy, you tell me if I'm wrong, is we just want to make people who are drug dealers feel nervous about driving around with their drugs.
Well, I mean, there's a law that says you have to follow the, you know, you can't speed, you can't violate a stop sign or a red light and that sort of thing. So that's where it starts, with the violation. And you would think that people that are carrying drugs would be a little bit careful with the type of car to get into. Don't get in a stolen car. Don't get in a car without a tag. Mm-hmm. Don't go 100 miles an hour.
Right.
Don't do those sorts of things. And a lot of them probably do that, actually. But occasionally we'll stop a car, and we'll end up finding some people that are violating a much more serious law than traffic violation.
Do you ever get suspicious of the driver that's very well behaved? Because I know, like, that's the way I think about it. Like, if I were going to commit a crime, you know, if I had a body in the trunk, okay, you know, I'm driving the speed limit. I'm stopping with a full and complete stop at every. I mean, like, because you don't want to get pulled over for something dumb when you're doing a crime. I mean, obviously, I'm glad that criminals don't think this way, but the other side of the thing is if somebody's driving very, very attentively,
too good,
too well,
too good,
full and complete stop, pause, then go. Yeah, I mean, does that draw attention too?
Well, I would think that I see where you're going there, but in my experience, back in the former life when I was a real policeman, as y'all reminded me before we got on the air.
I didn't say that. Yeah. I didn't say that.
When a police car is behind a car, they drive great.
Yeah,
they do their best to drive really good.
Yeah.
No one speeds.
Right.
You know, no one passes you. Everyone's coming to a complete stop, as you mentioned. They're all in the middle of the lane. Everyone's got their seatbelt on. Everyone does their best. So, again, to find that one person that's driving too good. Now, when you're looking for a DUI, there, you know, if someone's going super slow,
that's what I was thinking about DUIs.
You can, you know, hey, that car is going 30 and a 55 or something. There's something going on there. But again, when you see the cruiser car or certainly one with lights on, you drive your very best.
Everybody be okay. So that doesn't uniquely identify
unless you're doing drugs, in which case you're drunk, and in which case you need to be stopped.
We're glad if you misbehave, not because of misbehavior, because it lets us pull you over and arrest you. Speaking of dumb criminals, if you steal somebody's identity, fraudulently buy a truck, the next thing you want to do is post about it on social media. Is that right?
Well, yeah, there's a lot here as well. I want to make sure that people understand we are not making light of identity theft. That is
absolutely
devastating to a victim in identity mm-hmm. theft. It takes them months, sometimes years, to clear their name and clear their credit. In this particular case, you had a lady that stole someone's identity, and they had just enough information, and then she walked into a local car dealership, actually purchased a truck. She had her eye on this silver. Not silver, but a Silverado, red Silverado, and then she ended up buying that truck, and then she had the audacity to get this photo taken with a, you know, look at me in my new ride. In fact, you can see the picture we posted online that had the big bow on it.
That's what caught my attention is you guys featured this on your Facebook page, yeah?
Yeah, and then she, so somehow, and again, we're still looking into this. We have a suspicion, but she let an acquaintance of her use this truck, or it ended up in an acquaintance's hands. He abandoned it in someone's private property who subsequently got it towed away. We recovered it, sent it back to the dealership. Well, the suspect...
She paid for it with the fraudulent money?
Right.
So she basically created a bank loan fraudulently through the fake identity.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. All right.
She pretended to be someone else, bought a truck in their name,
and used them for credit.
She's driving around, and then she's allowing someone else to use this truck, like within a day.
Okay.
And again, what's going on there? We have our suspicions. But anyways, the truck ends up on a private property. They don't like it. They get it towed away. We end up finding the truck, getting it, and returning it back to dealership. Well, the suspect in this case, the identity thief, decided that, hey, wait, they got my truck. I'm going to call. So they called the sheriff's office. They called us. She calls us and says, hey, I want to go in and get that truck recovered. And pretending to be the innocent
fraudulent
victim
of
this thing. So, yeah, she had the audacity to steal the truck, take the picture with the truck, and then it was recovered, try to get it back from the sheriff's office, all under this assumed name while still in character.
Well, I mean, if you're going to play a role.
She's committed.
I guess she's playing it all the way through, you know, hoping for the Academy Award here. And in the end.
And then she went to
a different
jail.
Kind of award.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You dumbest criminal type thing. Yeah. Pretty crazy. But, you know, we put it out not just to let people know what's taking place, although we should try to be transparent. But there's an indication that she has been trying to buy things throughout the town. And, mm-hmm. and we want to make sure that people understand don't buy anything from this person that looks like this. Because she's under a number of different names.
North Escambia says you have some suspects in the mailbox demolition of 2025. Like 10 or 15 mailboxes got beat up, and you got some suspects maybe?
We have some people of interest. That,
okay.
You know, that we, you know, people were kind enough, really, to give us some surveillance video and give us information. Mm-hmm, hey, we think it's this. And we're looking at whether it's some individuals on a four-wheeler that have been driving through the area. I don't think we've made an arrest yet. In fact, I didn't talk to the investigators yesterday, so I'm not aware of any arrests. But we did have some people of interest with regards to the, 10 to 15 mailboxes. Yeah. They were smashed up. I've seen some pictures online. You know, and this stuff has happened for 50 years.
Right.
You know, people do this sort of thing. So we think it's just like it has been in the 60s and 70s and 80s. With a bat of some sort,
joyriding kids with a bat,
driving through, and you know, school's out, and you know, so we're wondering if that might be a, you know, something they're trying to get involved in.
You have a what do you have coming up? You have Coffee with a Cop coming up.
Yeah, on June the 20th, we have a Coffee with a Cop. There's apparently a new Bagelheads on Davis Highway. I've got it right here. It's 10,015 North Davis Highway. It looks like Coffee with a Cop is scheduled for the Bagelheads. So we're going to be up there about 7:30 in the morning. Come join us.
It's fun. Are you a new law just got signed yesterday by Governor DeSantis that makes it easier to evict squatters, makes it easier for hotels who have people who are not paying or doing what they're supposed to be doing, expedites the removal of unauthorized individuals, safeguards property owners. Is this? I have always heard that this is a real problem, that getting rid of people who shouldn't be on your property if they've been there too long is just a challenge. It becomes a nightmare. Is that really a problem here in Escambia County? B, will this new law help you?
Yes and yes. There was some legislation last year, I believe, also that made it easier for law enforcement to get rid of some people. So in the past, people have claimed that they have residency or squatter's rights or whatever mm-hmm. they want to call it. Because they stayed in a location. So we go there and it's an abandoned house and they say, you can't evict me. You can't make me leave because I'm getting mail here. I'm doing some, you know, I've established power or utilities here. And it's always kind of really stuck in my craw that, hey, you know, you're not the owner here. You can't do this. So this past 2 years, there's been some, I'm not aware of the legislation that was just signed you're talking about, but I know last year there was some stuff that strengthened the law enforcement officer's ability to get people out. It requires an affidavit from the owner saying certain things, that you have no right to be here and that sort of thing. There was no rental agreement, verbal or written, but between them. And we will side on the owners, with the owners mm-hmm. In these types of situations. So, because again, you can't just take someone's property because you're just sitting there and you refuse to leave. And we get calls like this all the time.
Yeah.
And it does make it easier. So things are getting a little bit better on that regard. But there is a requirement on the owner that they provide this affidavit that they don't have that type of a agreement.
Somebody asked me a good question the other day that I had not thought of. We've talked many, many times about the pit maneuver, about using your car, your vehicles to stop somebody else who's driving, to spin them around and get them to stop. How do they practice that? How do they learn to do it?
How do we practice that?
Yeah, is it video simulation, real life? How do they learn?
Both, but mostly it's real life. We have our older cars. We weld big, large pieces of metal on the front of them, and then we practice. We go to a driving range that we use.
Not a golf driving range,
an actual driving range.
A big parking
driving
lot.
Range, yeah, an open driving range. And we practice it. We practice
really?
It time and time again. We do it every year so that everyone understands. Now, they learn this in what we call rookie school or police academy as well. So to me, there's only one way to really learn it, and that's to do it.
Yeah.
And so we practice it in real life with these mocked up older vehicles that we have. And then there's experience. Quite frankly, there's yeah. nothing like experience, and we continue to push and push and push to make sure that the conditions are correct and do what you got
to
do.
The deputies who get to drive in the fleeing vehicles in these scenarios, do they view that as a reward or a punishment?
It's just your turn. It's your turn to get in there. You kind of know.
Because you learn
a little bit about how it feels to be pitted.
Yes, yeah.
And then, you know, there's some constant conversations about, okay, that didn't quite work right. It didn't spin the car the way we wanted it to spin. And you also understand what happens at certain speeds and various speeds and when you're making turns and when you're driving straight. There's an art to this. Now, we put out a video, I guess last week, maybe a week and a half ago, I did a press conference, and we had an armed robber just robbed a convenience store.
Uh-huh.
And that individual, the pit looked a little different than what we typically practice, because this was this guy had a gun. He had the money and a gun in his car.
Yeah.
And our pit maneuver looked a little bit differently in that situation, because that the deputy had to improvise and to stop this individual from, you know, committing more crimes.
Right.
He was danger to society.
That's very interesting, because I mean, that makes perfect sense. You train on anything that involves that kind of level of force. Why wouldn't you train on, you know, pitting a car? So,
right.
And it makes perfect sense that that's how. But I'm glad somebody asked, because that, you know, that educated me. All right, last thing, and I don't quite know what to do with this here, but we learned something about you today. We were talking about the news story at the beginning of the show, right before the show came on. We're talking about Popeyes going to war with you know, McDonald's and trying to entice their chicken customers away, and we learned that Sheriff Simmons has a food preference.
Not a food preference. And to be clear, y'all two were talking about it. I don't walk around talking about hamburgers versus chicken.
When you go to McDonald's, what do you order, sir?
Well, I'll typically order a collection of things. A cheeseburger, and I'll always have some chicken nuggets.
There's
nothing wrong with nuggets.
The chicken
nuggets.
And I will
not apologize.
Aren't you little bit old for the chicken nugget?
What, is there an age limit for chicken nuggets? Those things are delicious.
Saucy nugs.
They're chicken and their nuggets. A little barbecue sauce. That's good stuff right there. I'm a growing boy. I can go over some nuggets right now. Probably have to wait until what? Lunchtime. 10, 11 o'clock.
I just think I know what we're doing for our frivolous topic today, all courtesy of Sheriff Simmons. I will not apologize for eating the saucy nugs. Sheriff, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for indulging us, getting us to laugh, and teaching us what's right and wrong about the law. I appreciate it, sir.
You bet. Y'all take.
I will not apologize. So entertaining. I love Sheriff Simmons. He's so much fun. 552 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. He really does put up with us real well. So
I know, right?
100% true. Hey, if you are looking at vehicles, trying to decide, you know, what's the next one that you're going to buy, what generation, what color, what trim level, what price, what mileage, all that stuff. Hey, start at Frontier Motors. Consider that your kind of square one. Go there, you know, talk to them about budget. Talk to them about, you know, what you're trying to accomplish, what you've liked in the past, what you haven't liked. Ask them what people are complaining about or what people are really happy about. Because, you know, the funny thing is, like, you know, the model that you might be driving now of a car, whatever it is, the one that you're going to upgrade to that's 5 years or 10 years newer might really be a lot different or might have features that you don't realize you're not going to like. And, you know, sometimes you'd like to stay with the same sort of thing, but then those things change in sometimes negative ways. So ask them. They see a lot of cars. They see thousands and thousands of cars. And so they know what people are enjoying, what they're not. And, you know, a lot of times we think of the used car place and they're, you know, they're the almost new car place, you know, cars that are a year, two, maybe 3 years young with 10 to 30 or 40,000 miles on them. They're going to warranty to 10 years or 100,000 miles. So it's, you know, almost new. But, you know, a lot of times we think of them as the adversary. Think of Frontier as your ally. Think of them as your friend, somebody who can kind of guide you on this whole process. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider, they're your healthcare partner, specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older. VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With 4 convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Now, I want you to breathe through your eyelids.
My eyelids?
Yeah, like the lava lizards of the Galapagos Islands. You see, there's some lizards that have proud eye behind their head so they can see backwards.
Got this long-standing problem. I get clogged in my right eyelid, you know? Keeps me from pitching good. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Why don't you hit the mascot? Why? Because you hit everything else out here. Who's seen Bull Durham lately? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines, David.
Good morning.
What is the thing I'd put on Facebook that I don't hear voices in my head? I just hear movie quotes and TV characters.
That sounds legitimate.
That's right.
Yeah,
I
believe it, yeah.
Somebody was very unkind and said, you know, those are voices in your head. Shut up. Yes, I know. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Smoke from the Canadian wildfires is wreaking havoc on air quality in some of our northern states. According to the Air Quality Index, Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin are at the most risk for unhealthy air right now. Other states that could see some smoke include Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia today. Hospitals will not be required to perform emergency abortions after the Trump administration rescinded a Biden-era rule. A policy had been enacted in 2022 by the Department of Health and Human Services, which required doctors to perform abortions in emergency departments if it served as stabilizing treatment for an emergency medical condition. And gamers are now scrambling. The Nintendo Switch 2 is launching tomorrow. Apparently, though, there have been some issues with people trying to get those. The pre-orders wiped out stock at all major retailers. But never fear. Best Buy, GameStop, Target all say they will have some fresh units on the shelves by launch day tomorrow.
All right, David. Thank goodness.
I knew you were worried about it.
Yeah, I stopped learning game systems at NES, basically. So
yeah, I think the last Nintendo I had was the SNES.
Yeah, only... To be fair, I played a little Call of Duty with my kids on various platforms with them, but PlayStation, I think, mostly. But I did learn some Wii U. I can play Mario Kart.
So apparently this new...
Poorly. I mean, I always come in last place to my kids, but...
This new Switch is coming with the new version of Mario Kart.
Okay. All right. So, John, you look like you're ready to make fun of me, which is fine. Go on.
Yes. I don't know.
I don't know where to start with all this, do you?
No, I don't. I have an Xbox Series X, and I'll beat you anytime you need it.
We don't even need to play.
Well, no. I want to play like Madden or something
it
with
doesn't.
You.
Oh God. Football? No.
Baseball?
No.
How about that?
No, thank
you. You can even be the Cardinals.
I'll play you in television baseball.
Whoa! No. We're talking like MLB 25.
We're gonna play on your turf. We're gonna play on my turf. You know.
Oh. Ram.
5:58.
Come to my playground.
News Radio 92.3. An odd little side effect of the Trump tariffs. I thought this was an interesting story, but one of the side little effects of the Trump tariffs is that hair products, particularly hair products that black people use, are becoming significantly more expensive to the tune where those, providers of doing, extensions and braids and whatever are actually like worried that they're either going to go out of business or going to have to jack up prices and people aren't going to be able to pay for them anymore. Yeah, the headline is the black hair industry imports products from China and the tariffs are killing them. You know, there's a lot of money. This is a very, very big industry in the United States. Very, very expensive. Black women particularly spend a lot of money on hair. But, you know, the cost of a pack of hair has gone up a lot. We get a lot of hair from China, get a lot of hair from India. $3.2 billion industry globally in 2023. So, yeah. And by the way, you know, a visit is usually $160 to $250 for braiding. I mean, it's very expensive, you know, which is significantly more expensive than typically white women pay for, you know, their hair care products and their hair treatment. So,
local
very interesting story, I thought.
And breaking-